بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 15th of November in the year 2021 and alhamdulillah we've completed the 34th week the 238th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiyallahu. And I've reached the point where I've mentioned that the accursed Khawarij have emerged. So the section is entitled, Reasoning with the Khawarij. Before taking stronger measures, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, radiyallahu, first decided to reason with the deviants. The illustrious cousin of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma thus offered his service and asked permission from the Khalif for permission to speak to the Khawarij on his behalf. Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu first hesitated, fearing that his dear cousin would be in danger at their hands. But he eventually gave way to Abdullah's optimism that nothing untoward would happen. Indeed, if anybody could bring these deviants around, it most certainly would be Tarjaman al-Quran, i.e. the interpreter of the Quran. So Ibn Abbas was about to set off. Before his departure, the Amir al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu anhu gave him some priceless advice. Go to them. Do not dispute them with the Quran, because it possesses multiple facets. Rather dispute them with the Sunnah. Ibn Abbas replied, radiyallahu anhuma, but I am more knowledgeable of the Quran than them, for it is in our homes it was revealed. Sayyidina Ali responded, radiyallahu anhu, you have spoken truthfully, but the Quran is laconic in its phrasing and thus carries multiple facets. You will say it means one thing, and they will say it means another. Rather argue with them by means of the Sunnah, for they will not be able to find an escape from this. This is in Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, Ad-Dur al-Mantur, on Surah 1, verse 6. So look at the very interesting advice Amir al-Mu'mineen gave to Ibn Abbas. He said, reason with them with the Sunnah, not the Quran. So obviously Ibn Abbas was thinking, you know, I've been blessed with the understanding of the Quran. He goes, the Quran has got many meanings, and they might go to another meaning causing confusion. Therefore, restrict them with the Sunnah. Now this also shows that he had immense knowledge of the Sunnah, because Ibn Abbas was told, restrict them with the Sunnah. Many years earlier, Umar also prophesied, Amir al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu, certain people shall appear who will dispute with you concerning the Quran. Thus reply to them with the Sunnah. For the possessors of the Sunnah are the most knowledgeable about the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in Darimi Al-Khatib in his Tariq, Baghdad 14-286, Al-Laliqai in his Sharh, Usul I'tiqad Ahlul Sunnah 1-123 al-Uds. So Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu, he said, this is one of the signs of the hour, that people will come and they will quote the Quran. They will argue with the Quran. He goes, you reply to them with the Sunnah. Because the people of the Sunnah have got the greatest knowledge of the Quran. Now what you notice about the Sunnah isn't separate from the Quran. The Sunnah is revelation. So it makes absolute sense that the Quran would be explained by another revelation. And that's the Sunnah. And this is true. People say it means this, it means that. But who's got the greatest knowledge? You notice it's the one who's quoting the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So alas, what then of those who deny even the authority of the Sunnah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves from all forms of error and misguidance. Ameen. So who am I referring to? There's a famous report. The hadith is in Abu Dawood, Sahih hadith. And the Prophet, paraphrasing sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, a time is coming when people sitting on their raised couches, they will say, we do not find this in the Book of Allah. And they were saying certain things, and then the Prophet ﷺ said, but I have made this prohibited. I have made this prohibited, meaning it's from the Sunnah. So the Prophet was saying that one of the signs of the hour is people will reject the Sunnah, because we don't find it in the Quran. And the Prophet told you that is, and look what he said, they'll be sitting on raised couches. The Arabs didn't sit on couches, sat on the floor. So you notice now that people are sitting on couches, sofas, settees, whatever, and they're saying the Quran is enough. So note, Ibn Abbas was told by Amir al-Mu'mineen, restrict them with the Sunnah. So there's two reports. The first is very brief, the second is lengthy. So the brief report first. In Abu Dawood, number 4037, in the chapter on the book of clothing, it's Sahih, Bayhaqi 8-179. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, radiallahu anhu, when the Khawarij made a revolt, I came to Ali. He commanded me, go to these people and reason with them. I wore the best kind of Yemeni hulla. I came to them and they said, welcome, O Ibn Abbas. But what is this hulla? I responded, Mata ibuna Ali. لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَىٰ أَحْسَنَ مَا يَقُونُ مِنَ الْحُلَلِ. Are you criticizing me? I saw Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم wearing one of the best of the hullah. So this is the brief report, Sahih Hadith in Abu Dawood. So he goes and he's deliberately worn a hullah. A hullah is two sheets, an upper sheet and a lower sheet. He was wearing the best kind of Yemeni hullah, meaning a very expensive garment. When they saw him, now look how interesting, they didn't have a problem with Ibn Abbas at that time. After this, they did. They goes, welcome. But then they looked at his clothes, they goes, what's this hullah? And he said, are you criticizing me? I saw Rasulullah wearing one of the best hullah. Meaning you might as well criticize Rasulullah. So look what he's doing. He's doing exactly what Amir al-Mu'mineen told him. He goes, restrict them with the Sunnah. So he thought a good way to get them on this is to wear good clothes, because they've got a problem with this. In another report, which adds a detail, in Nasa'i, in his Khasa'is, page 200, it's Hasan. Ibn Abbas added, the following was thereupon revealed when Rasulullah wore this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Surah Al-A'raf, Surah 7, verse 32. قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. Say, who has forbidden the beautiful gifts given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which He has produced for His slaves, and at-tayyibat, all kinds of lawful and pure food. So let's look at this. So this is an authentic addition in Nasa'i. So Rasulullah wore a beautiful garment. And Allah Ta'ala revealed that he goes, who's forbidden these beautiful gifts? And the lawful and pure food, meaning there's not piety to prevent yourselves from wearing what is nice and eating what is pure and wholesome. So note, we haven't got the munkiri of the Christians who prevent themselves from certain foods, they think it is piety, and also from certain clothing. So let us now go into a more detailed report about the famous encounter. So this narration, I'll give you the reference. In Nasa'i, in his Sunan al-Kubra, 5-165, or number 8575. Ahmad in his Musnad, 1-342 in brief. And Ahmad in his Fada'il al-Sahaba, page 427-8 in full. Hassan, Hakim in his Mustadrak, 2-164, number 2656 states, Sahih to the criteria of Muslim. Zahabi, Sahih. Tabarani in his Kabir, 10-312, or number 10,598. Bayhaqi in his Sunan, 8-179. Abdul Razak in his Al-Musannaf, 10-157, or number 18,678. Hafiz ibn Abdul Bar in his Jami, Bayan al-Ilm, page 375-7. Hafiz Baladhuri in his Ansab al-Ashraf, 3-43-4. Hafiz Al-Fasawi in his Al-Ma'rifa wa Tariq, 1-522. Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, volume 1, page 349-51 of the English translation. Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, volume 9, page 169-70 of the English translation, mentions it briefly, and others. So it's mentioning, it's recorded in the books of Hadith and also the authentic narratives of history. So we're going to break it down. It's a long report. So the narrator is Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. He said, when the Khawarij, who numbered 6,000, withdrew. So what did I mention? One report says 14,000. Another report mentions 8,000. Ibn Abbas, in this authentic report, said 6,000. So maybe he's, you know, estimating the figure. When the Khawarij, who numbered 6,000, withdrew and entered some land and agreed that they would rebel and fight against Ali ibn Abu Talib radiallahu anhu, people would come to him and say, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, the people have rebelled against you. He would reply, let them be. I will not fight them until they attack. And indeed, they will do so. So stop in the report. So the people alerted Amir al-Mu'mineen that they've rebelled. So Hazrat Ali explained a very important thing. He goes, we won't say anything to them. But if they attack us, we will respond in kind, and they will attack us. One day during the Zuhr prayer, I said to him, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, radiyallahu anhu, delay the salah until it is cooler, so that I may enter upon these people and speak to them. He responded, I fear for you, O Ibn Abbas. I replied, do not worry. I was a good-natured man and did not bother anyone. So he gave me permission. So stop in the report. So Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he requested Amir al-Mu'mineen, delay the Zuhr. Meaning, let me go in the early period of Zuhr. I will reason with them. And hopefully I'll be back by the time of the Zuhr prayer. And then he said, give me permission. So Amir al-Mu'mineen said, I fear for you, meaning these are ruthless people. He goes, don't worry. And he explained, because I'm a good-natured man, I don't bother anybody. And people, you know, they notice there's certain people that people, they don't really bother anybody, and people like to be in their company. I thereupon put on clothes that were the finest that Yemen had to offer. And I combed my hair and entered upon them in the middle of the day. So maybe noontime. I entered upon the people. And I had never seen anyone who appeared to have striven more in worship than them. Their foreheads bore huge grooves because of numerous prostrations. And their hands were like the knees of camels. They wore clean clothes and looked fatigued because of staying up all night. Stop in the report. So he goes to Nahrawan where they were. And when he enters, he's describing them. And he says, if you looked at them, you'd think these are the greatest worshippers. Because the greatest prostration marks I could ever see. And he goes, their hands were rough, meaning they were doing physical hard labor. And they looked like they were fatigued because of night worship. I greeted them with salam. And they said upon seeing me, welcome, O Ibn Abbas, what brings you here? I responded, I have come to you from the Muhajireen and the Ansar, and from the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Verily indeed, amongst them the Quran was revealed, and they are more knowledgeable about its interpretation than you. So Ibn Abbas was asked, why have you, you know, you're welcome, but why have you come at this time? And he cut to the chase. He goes, I've come from the Sahaba, Muhajirun and the Ansar, and I've come from Rasulullah's son-in-law. And then he said, amongst those I have described, the Quran was revealed, and they are more knowledgeable about its interpretation than you. So he just finished them. He goes, Quran came and down to the Amir al-Mu'mineen's dwelling, and the Sahaba were the first to experience the Quran. They got more knowledge of the Quran than you. Now if you stop there, you're thinking, he's asking to be killed. But this shows his bravery. When he came to the truth, he didn't give a monkeys. So some of them, they got agitated. And they said, do not argue with the Quraysh. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they recited Surah Al-Zukhruf, Surah 43, verse 58. بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ خَصِمُونَ Nay, but they are a quarrelsome people. So, stop in the report. So, look what they're doing. What he told them not to do, they're doing it straight away. So when they heard him talk, instead of, you know, responding, there's no response because it's the truth. So all they could say was this: don't argue with these people, the Quraysh. Allah Ta'ala condemns the Quraysh. And what does Allah Ta'ala say according to them? They are a quarrelsome people. So let me ask you a question. Is that verse about the Quraysh? Think about that. So two or three of them thereupon said, we will certainly speak to him. So there was an ikhtilaf amongst the Khawarij. Some goes, don't even listen to him. The Quraysh are a contentious people. Two or three said no. He goes, look, he's come, he wants to tell us something. You know, let's at least give him, you know, the decency to listen to what he has to say. I thereupon asked, inform me, why are you upset with the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muhajireen and the Ansar amongst whom the Quran was revealed, and not one of them is amongst you, and Ali knows best about its interpretation? So he's responded, he's asked him again. He goes, why are you upset with Amir al-Mumineen? But he didn't say that. He goes, Rasulullah's son-in-law sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and why are you upset with the Muhajireen and the Ansar amongst whom the Quran was revealed? And then look, he put another little subtle kind of a slap. He goes, and not one of them is amongst you. So this shows he was observing. Ibn Abbas was looking to see if he could see any companions. Jackal, mate. Or dogs, right? So he's looking out. He goes, not one of them is amongst you. And then he says, and Ali has got the best understanding. So they said, there are three things. In other words, these three things have caused us to split from the Khalif. I responded, please inform me what those three things are. They said, the first is that he left the issue of judgment to men concerning a matter of this deen, whilst Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they recited Surah Al-An'am, Surah 6, verse 57, and it's repeated, Surah Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam, Surah 12, verse 40. Inil hukmu illa lillah. The judgment is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They then added, what therefore does man have to do with ruling when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this? So this was their first complaint. They said, he's made a mistake. His mistake is, he has opened up judgment when judgment only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what was their proof? The Quran. Two verses. Inil hukmu illa lillah. The judgment is only for Allah. He goes, what has he got to do with this? That's the first. So Ibn Abbas said, that is one grievance. What is your second? They said, secondly, he fought and killed, but did not take captives the women of his opponents or any spoils. Thus, if they were believers, why is it permissible for us to fight and kill them, but not permissible for us to take their women? I responded, that is the second. So what was their second grievance? They were basically saying, we fight on his side. Referring to the battle of the camel and the battle of the Siffin. And when we fight and we're victorious, he doesn't take spoils. So he goes, what is going on? He goes, are they believers or are they not believers? So Ibn Abbas said, what is the third grievance? They answered, he has erased his title of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Thus, if he is not the Amir al-Mu'mineen, then he must be the Amir al-Kafirin. So he goes, look, he's not the Amir al-Mu'mineen. So that makes him the Amir of the unbelievers. That's our third grievance. Ibn Abbas then said, radiyallahu anhu, do you have any other grievances? They looked at each other. They goes, no, that is all. Meaning, that's why we split from him. So now the scholars point out something here. Ibn Abbas is explaining how you debate. How do you debate? You ask the people who you are debating explain your position. Right? Why? Because otherwise you'll be just arguing and jumping all over the place. So he said, look, exactly what is it? Tell me what it is that you've got grievances over. When he got everything out of them, only then did he start responding. So why? What does that teach you? We don't start answering piecemeal. Anything else. And when you get everything on the table, is everything on the table? Yes. Now we start answering. This is the adab. So Ibn Abbas, he said, radiallahu anhu, now I will answer your queries. As for your saying that he left the issue of judgment to men according to a matter of deen, I shall recite to you from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that contradicts this. And if it contradicts what you say, will you recant? So what he basically said was, your first grievance is that he's opened up judgment, and judgment only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I quote the Quran to you, which contradicts your viewpoint, would you repent from that? They said, yes. Ibn Abbas said, Allah the Almighty delegated His ruling to men with regards to something worth 1/4 of a dirham, which is the price of a rabbit. And he recited Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah 5, verse 95, the translation. Kill not game whilst you are in a state of ihram. Whoever of you kills it intentionally, the penalty is then an offering brought to the Kaaba of an eatable animal equivalent to the one he killed. يَحْكُمُ بِهِ ذَوَى عَدْلٍ مِّنْكُمْ as adjudged by two just men amongst you. Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah 5, verse 95. So stop in the quote. So he's alerted the Khawarij to a verse where Allah Ta'ala gives a ruling. And if you are in the state of ihram and you kill something, for sustenance in the good old days, then as an atonement, you must sacrifice an equivalent animal to the one that you killed. So for instance, if you caught a rabbit, then you have to slaughter a rabbit as an atonement. But the Quran then says, يَحْكُمُ بِهِ ذَوَى عَدْلٍ مِّنْكُمْ as judged by two just men amongst you. So when you get the rabbit you have to show to two just men, and they will look at it and they will say, this is what you need to give, that's fine. So why did he quote that verse? Because if they say judgment only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's this to do? What's this about a rabbit? In addition, he then said, with regards to a woman and her husband, and he recited Surah An-Nisa, Surah 4, verse 35, translation. If you fear a breach between the two, فَبَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا then appoint two judges, one from his family and the other from hers. So stopping the quote, the second sacred verse he quotes is when a husband and wife are at odds. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says that if you fear a breach, that they're going to separate, before they separate, appoint two judges. One from your family, the husband, the other from hers. Let them see what's going on. Then look what he said, Ibn Abbas. I thus now adjure you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is the ruling of men with regards to reconciling between people, sparing their blood, i.e. in their thousands, more important than the ruling on a rabbit or a case of marriage? Which one do you think is more important? They then said, indeed, sparing the lives is more important. I asked, have I thus answered this first point of yours? They said, yes. So what was their first grievance?
Judgment.
Explain. Explain.
They said that judgment is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
So they quoted the verse.
So, so according to them, can you intervene in any judgment?
No.
No. So what did Ibn Abbas prove to them through the Quran? What can you do? Exact opposite. He goes, in ihram, get two judges. Fail a breach, get two judges. Then he said this, now this is the killer line. He goes, one is to do with the rabbi. One is to do with the couple. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Muawiyah, Amr ibn al-As, they were doing it for thousands of lives. What's more important? To open, to you know, get judgment. And then they had to respond. They said, you're right. So he clarified it. Now think about that. Where are their scholars? If you think about this, 6,000, 8,000, God knows how many thousands. Didn't you know that? You know, you look at your thinking, you know, obviously we're laymen, you know, they're apparently, you know, where we've broken off, we are representatives of Islam. Somebody's quoting Quran to them and they're going, as if they don't even know, they go, yeah, you're right. Now this is another report from another narration. Hazrat Ali identically said to the people around him, the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a greater right with respect to their blood and honor than a wife and a husband. This is in Ahmad in his Musnad, volume 1, page 86. Hafiz ibn Kathir in his Al-Bidayah, volume 7, page 28, states, Ahmad alone records it, his shayn is sahih, and Ad-Diyah chose it for his choice collection. So, Hazrat Ali himself said exactly the same to some Khawarij. He goes, look, what's more important? The Ummah of Rasulullah's blood being spared, or a couple? So he's using the same argument as well. Going back to the main report, Ibn Abbas said, I then said, with regards to your saying that he fought and did not take captive the women or take spoils, then would you take your mother Aisha as captive? Radiallahu. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you say she is not our mother, you have gone out of Islam. And by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you were to say that you would take her captive and regard her as permissible like any other woman, you have also gone out of the fold of Islam. Either way, it is clear misguidance. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he recited Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 6, النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is closer to the believers than their own selves, and his wives are their mothers. Have I answered this point? They looked at each other and they said yes. So what was their second objection? And it was, he doesn't take spoils. So Ibn Abbas was referring to the Ba'al of the Camel. He goes, which one of you would take Aisha as his lawful spouse? Straight away thinking, isn't it obvious he's going to ask you that question? If you take her, you're kafir. If you say that she's not your mother, you're kafir. So what other option is there? And then they said, you're right, spouse can't be taken. Then he said, as for your saying that he has lost the title of Amir al-Mu'mineen, I shall quote something that you will accept. Now this is interesting. He knew that the Khawarij didn't accept certain reports. All sects are like this. They're very selective. Hafiz ibn Kathir said, rahmatullah alayh, that the sects of Islam are very selective in what they quote. So Ibn Abbas was highlighting this. He says, I will quote something that you will accept, meaning you have no objection to this. On the day of Hudaybiyah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a treaty with the polytheists, Abu Sufyan ibn Harb and Suhail ibn Amr radiyallahu anhuma. He then said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Ali, write a document for them to this effect. Thus Ali wrote, this is what is agreed to by Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The polytheist thereupon retorted, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not recognize you as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we knew you were, we would not have fought you. Because we accept the document, but not Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon said, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know that I am your messenger. Then he turned to Ali. He goes, O Ali, erase it and write, this is what is agreed by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the son of Abdullah radiallahu anhu. So Abdullah ibn Abbas continued, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was better than Ali, and he erased his title himself. The report concludes by saying, 2,000 of them repented, and 4,000 were still stubborn, and they rebelled. They were thus fought and defeated. Subhanallah. So what happened? The last objection. He has got rid of his own title, i.e. referring to the judgment, when the arbitrators agreed to disagree, as they say. So they're saying, he's not the Amir al-Mu'mineen, because this is what's happened, he's lost his title. So Ibn Abbas, and look how ironic, who was writing the document? Ali, for Rasulullah. That makes it even more amazing. And when the Prophet told him, because he saw the treaty was in jeopardy, you know, put a line through Rasulullah, and write, and it's still true, Muhammad is the son of Abdullah. Write that instead. Ali radiallahu anhu, this report doesn't mention, he couldn't do it. He said, I can't do it, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Prophet himself put a line through it. The report in Bukhari mentions that. So Ibn Abbas said, so when Rasulullah erased Rasulullah, does that mean he's not Rasulullah? What did he himself say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know I'm your messenger. Then he told Ali, doesn't matter, but do it because they want to do it. So then he said, Rasulullah is better than Ali. So even if Ali has done what you've said he's done, he is still Amir al-Mu'mineen. And then 2,000, imagine, woke up. Alhamdulillah, right? So there were 6,000. So one third of them, that light bulb came on. They went, subhanAllah, the matter is clear. They repented, and 4,000, imagine, even if you give them all the signs, they still went, no, we're not happy. Not happy with what? He's answered your objections. There's nothing to be, you know, there's no objections left. Why are you still being stubborn? And that's the Khawarij. So was it worth him going? Certainly was. Though subhanAllah, around one third of these deviants were saved by this most noble man's efforts. So note, he was extremely brave as well. You know, think about that. Would you go into a lion's mouth thinking these guys are crazy? You know, ripped, you know, putting it, you know, if you look at what, ripping open women's stomachs, taking babies out, taking heads off, and somebody goes, go and give him dawat. You're thinking, you go and give him dawat, I'm not going to, they're crazy. One man by himself went, and he's speaking as if he doesn't give a monkey's what you think. And not only that, through his bravery, his understanding, a third of them repented. So alhamdulillah, his efforts bore fruit, the great Ibn Abbas. And notice all through the turmoil, Abdullah ibn Abbas, how pivotal he was. He was always on the right hand side of Ali. Told him from day one, get the pledge of Muawiyah. Then he was on the side of, right hand side on the day of the camel. Then he was made governor of Basra. Then he was with Amir al-Mu'mineen in the Battle of Siffin. And now against the Khawarij, he's there again. So note, he was truly, you know, his right hand man. And this is of course after the tragic martyrdom of Sayyidina Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu. So all I mentioned today was basically the reasoning with the Khawarij and Amir al-Mu'mineen giving crucial advice to Sayyidina ibn Abbas, and alhamdulillah, his efforts bore fruit. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka wa billahi min shaitanir rajim subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr innal insana lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr sallallahu